Welcome to the Island Basketball Podcast, the Big Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper, Matt Moore, Skyping before he heads into Denver for, I don't know, a 40-hour excursion.
My latest in like 5 days is going into Denver for like 1,700 hours. For those who don't know, I live like an hour outside of Denver. My wife goes to CSU, so I live north of the city. We live in the suburbs, which is it's a nice compromise. And by compromise, I mean my wife has to go 15 minutes and I have to go an hour.
Yikes.
Because that's the way that my family works.
Sure.
So I'm spending quite a long day in the city collecting coverage for what is setting up to be a huge game tonight between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Denver Nuggets.
That's gonna be a fun one.
I talked to Mark and Zach yesterday for a feature I'm doing, and I kind of expected to be like, oh, you know, it's just another game. And they were like, no. This one's big.
Yeah.
Of course, Mark was like, every game is big.
I don't really believe in statement games when most people think they're statement games, but when it matters to both teams like this, which it clearly does, this is a statement game for both teams.
It's more of a, and they both talked about this, they're just like, you can't lose in the West right now. You can't afford a loss. A loss could come back and bite you in terms of first round home court advantage.
Yeah, especially with these two teams. They might very well may face each other if the Clippers kind of get their stuff together. And neither team wants to lose home court advantage.
It's also crazy because I realize that the Clippers, the Grizzlies, and the Nuggets are all desperate to get out of the first round. Like, that's their bar.
Right.
Like, we have to get out of the first round.
Right.
And obviously they're not all going to make it out of the first round.
Seems unlikely.
Gonna need some weird playoff machinations for that to happen.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because in the East, I feel like any of these teams would be like, well, we're going to make the second round. I mean, that's obvious. You know, it's like, can we win in the second round? Can we make the Eastern Conference Finals? Can we challenge Miami? It's just weird to see the difference in the East and the West.
Right. Just a little difference in the East and the West. We did our three-quarter grades for the season, and I've had people like, how are you giving the Jazz a B, like, this last stretch since the trade deadline should put them way under? I'm like, they're the eighth seed in the West.
Right.
Like, they're, regardless of where they are right now for the entire season, they've been pretty good.
Right.
Maybe not as good as you want them to be, or maybe, you know, this dip has really affected your coloring of them, but this is the first three quarters of the season, not just like, hey, the last 3 weeks, this is what's happening.
Right. Well, it's unfortunate that you said that because that's how I graded them. Was I entirely right? Here's a little peek inside the hood for everyone listening is we don't when we do these things, and specifically when I kind of organize this stuff, I try not to give the guys parameters. I just kind of say, hey, here's this. Talk about whatever you want. It's called the MVP vote where we don't define valuable.
Right.
You just kind of give it that. And so Zach decided to do, like, well, for the three quarters of the year, Jazz been pretty good. Versus I would have been like F minus, minus. And, like, I destroyed the Knicks.
And that's why people were confused as to why, like, the Nuggets got an A minus. I'm like, they did struggle a little bit. And understandably so, I even wrote this. Like, yeah, the first part of their schedule wasn't fair necessarily. But we still have to take that into account.
We can understand it, but you don't get credit for it.
Right.
We don't just say, like, oh, we can totally ignore that. Just the same way, you can't ignore the Knicks for the entirety of the year. Like, if I was giving the Knicks a grade on the first three quarters of the year, I probably would have given them an A to a B plus.
Yeah.
Based off of their performance. But they got a C minus from me. And that was only because I was, like, trying to find a way to give them a D. And I was like, well, no, they're over 500 for the quarter. So.
Well, the moral of the story is people really like grades.
That's them. And everyone goes, why do you do them? And I'm the traffic is unbelievable. I could write some brilliant headline that invokes eloquence combined with nuance and SEO keywords, and it still wouldn't do anything close to NBA team grades.
Right. Speaking of grades and the Knicks, I think Raymond Felton and I have different definitions of the word revenge. For me, if I was having a revenge game against the Portland Trailblazers, I would say I'm going to try to go for like 20-10, really shut down the other guy. He went the other way. He allowed a 20-10 game from Damian Lillard, and then he didn't play well on offense.
Did not drop 50.
Didn't drop 50. Almost got to 40.
Came a little short.
Yeah, I think he had like 12. That's almost 40.
I want to talk to you about this. If we're scoping out, if you're putting together the perfect revenge game, do you agree with me that, by the way, he had 11 points on 12 shots?
Oh, there you go.
This is my opinion on revenge games. The best way to do it is to not say anything at all and to leave people guessing. The objective is to say, it's just another game.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's very cliche, but I think that's what you have to do because, I mean, I get it sexier to be like, oh, these guys gave up on me, I'm going to take it to them, and then if you do that, you look like, you know, a serial killer of sorts, but really...
I feel like you actually look, you just look like a, you know, you look kind of like a braggart, and you know, it's almost like you're cashing in on one hot game, versus I think it's way better to be like, it's just another game, and then destroy them, and then have everyone go... Oh, he knew, like, you know, like, yeah. Oh, he was totally wanted this game. Like, you knew this game mattered to him, whether it matters to you or not.
No, I agree with you. I would direct you to message boards and comment sections.
Right.
As to the opposite thinking of that. But no, I agree with you.
It's way better to leave him guessing. Always leave the crowd with a little bit of mystery.
Right.
That's why with, like, the Kobe revenge game against Dante whenever he plays next year in Turkey, that... I just feel like that's asking a lot from you to put up a 40-point game on command.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you need, and everyone kind of thinks that you can just do that on command. It's like, no, you need the defense to play you a certain way. Cause,
especially, let's just say that Dante is still in Atlanta or he goes back to Indiana or somebody. Like, if you're playing against a really good defensive team, it might be a little bit harder to get that 40.
Right. Like if he's in Indiana, you're not getting 40.
Right.
You know, just pace, you're not going to be able to. That's the other thing people don't factor is you got to have the game be fast enough. You got to have enough possessions.
Maybe Kobe knows that Dante Jones has an in with Daryl Morey, and he's going to play in a 104-possession game in Houston next year.
Kobe's like looked all this up before he makes the comment. Okay.
Most people shower during the area between the game and when the media is allowed into the locker room. But Kobe was just projecting. He was just running numbers.
He's got a chart. And he's like, okay, if I shoot...
It's like one of those blood alcohol content charts. He just like it's laminated.
Okay.
It's laminated. He pulls it out. He's like, it's a little blurred. And he just hands it to Steve Blake. Goes, I want you to have this. And I hope all of you picked up on that Can't Hardly Wait reference. If you did, I'm all your friends.
I love that movie so much.
It's a great movie.
Dharma's appearance in it, the random Dharma appearance, I think is my favorite part.
Oh, that's great.
So the games were terrible last night.
Yeah, I did. I will admit, I did watch a little bit. I watched the last minute of the of the Spurs-Mavs game. And I actually liked the shot that Vince Carter got off.
I would have killed him years ago, and honestly, this year I'm kind of like, you know, he's been so good. He's earned the right to take a crossover step back three. Like,
I didn't think it was, he wasn't defended that well on it. Like, he created enough space where I thought it was a good shot. What confused me, and this is what happens when you don't watch a game and come in at the last minute, I didn't know how many fouls to give there were. I wasn't really paying attention. I didn't know the sound on.
Right.
And so they ran a play with like 8 seconds left for Mike James on a pick and roll. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then Manu fouled Mike James, and they had a foul to give. I was like, oh, thank God. I really thought Dallas started to tank.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though, if San Antonio saw that? If, like, Popovich instructed them? If Mike has the ball, we're not going to foul.
He just starts dribbling around the three-point line. He's like, oh, what's going to happen?
you got the foul to give. Like, he starts reminding him, you have the foul to give, remember?
He throws the ball out of bounds. Just like, I don't want this.
I can totally imagine that too. Just like you have the foul to give, and Mono being like, "We know."
Yeah, all of a sudden he becomes a quarterback trying to stop the clock.
Spikes the ball.
Yeah.
Not good. As much as that game was close, and somebody was trying to, a Mavs fan was trying to argue with me. He's like, "It's been back and forth the whole game." I was like, "Has this game ever really been in doubt to you?" And even though it's like a 1-point game, you were like, "How about now?" And I'm like, "Nope. I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried at all." And then, yep, sure enough, Carter misses.
Yeah.
Spurs win. That's what they do.
Well, you could see on the play before, Manu didn't have a good shooting night, apparently. He was 2 of 9, but he did have 9 assists. But he ended up taking a shot at the end of the game that could have put them up three. And he misses, and it wasn't a good shot. And then they cut to Tony Parker on the bench in street clothes, and he just looked really disappointed. I'm thinking, oh, Tony wanted to take that shot. Like, he wants to be out there.
Yeah, Manu.
Because Tony's their guy now. Like, he just is.
Manu made a great over-the-shoulder pass to Kawhi Leonard when Brandon Wright guessed completely wrong on a screen. Duncan went up to sit at the top of the key screen, and it was one of those where he goes straight forward, and you don't know until the last second where he's going to turn.
Yeah.
And when he turned that way, Wright was like, uh-oh, because they both jumped to the left. And so Manu's like, well, I'm going right. See ya. So Manu goes right, and then OJ Mayo is in that corner position where it's just him and the corner guy, and he's only got Dirk behind him. And if he doesn't help, he's got a drive to the basket against Dirk.
Yeah.
Deep in the paint. And if he does help, which he did, Manu's got the corner kick out for three to Kawhi Leonard.
That's really, I mean, there probably is a way to defend that a lot better, but
that's
no man's land for Mayo there. Like, that's really, it's hard to kill him for a bad defensive play.
Because it's, you know, I kind of pay attention to it a lot with defenders. I watch it a lot, and I'm always like, why don't you just stand right outside of the paint, and that way you can reach in and swipe to alter him and still have time to recover, because so many guys go into the paint.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like all the way into the middle. And I think it's just one where no matter what it looks like to me, there's just not space. Like, you just cannot get over there enough, and so you're trying to legitimately alter it.
Right.
But I'm honestly, this is the way, again, another reason I would never survive if I had the body for professional sports. My thinking would be I would look like I was helping. While making sure I could recover.
You would just pull up with a hamstring injury, just like, oh my god, I cramped.
I would like lunge, like fake lunge, and while I'm still making sure I can get back.
Yeah.
Just because I, you know, because the thing is, if the guy drives, then everyone goes, oh, who let his man get past, or who didn't pick up the weak side rotation by the bigs there.
Right.
Only your teammates and coaches are really going to go, okay, the corner guy's got to help out there. Versus if it's the corner guy, everyone's like, oh my god, he was wide open. Who blew the rotation? And it's just you. It's just, because that's what happened. Everyone's like, oh my god, OJ Mayo. And I like went back and watched that. I was like, there's nothing he could do there.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't help on Manu. Manu's drawing a foul. Like, I've seen it too many times. He's drawing that foul on Dirk. So.
Speaking of fouls, this is seamless. The NBA has ruled that Kobe should have been awarded a foul and two free throws for the Dante Jones incident. And two things come up. One, awesome. That doesn't change the game because here's a problem I have with, and I defend officiating as much as I can because I do recognize how hard it is, and I do think they actually do a better job than most people think, this season aside. But this is like a really half-assed attempt at transparency. Because it's, look, we're reviewing stuff. We've got the best interest at heart. But really, like, because there is so little transparency and that's the only thing we get to see into the whole process, it's just lip service.
See, I don't mind it. And here's the thing. If they don't say anything, then there's no, there, like you said, like, I feel like you have to be able to say, we screw up sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, we make mistakes.
Absolutely.
And what confused me about this is that yesterday this became Lakers fans were going, aha! And I'm like, I don't think many people would have minded if it was called a foul.
Right. It's the whole dirty implication.
Yeah. Like, the NBA didn't come out and say, Dante Jones is a dirty, no-good poo-poo head.
That we're going to suspend, you know?
Yeah. It was just, well, no, he got contact with the body. They should have called a foul on it. And I thought it was a foul. When I saw it, I was like, well, yeah, he got the leg. I mean, he was definitely too close to the body.
Right.
It's not really deniable. But it wasn't intentional, and sometimes you're not going to get that call.
I am a little mad that it wasn't called a foul for the simple fact that there's no way they take Kobe off that court to shoot the, like, he's shooting those free throws. But I believe it's his left ankle. He would have had to do some, like, crane technique, like, right-footed balancing act to shoot the free throws, because there's no way he lets Robert Sacre get picked to shoot the free throws, right? Like, he's taking those.
Let's set the scene.
I like
Bryant hobbles at the free throw line. What's he doing? He's taking off his shoelace. He's on the ankle. He can barely walk. He's harnessing his shoelaces into a tourniquet. He's wrapping it around his neck to cut off the circulation. He's crossed one leg over the other, and he's got it hanging off of his neck. He takes the first free throw. He's good! That's what would happen.
It would have been... I really would have liked to see those free throws be attempted. Because there's... I just don't believe...
He would have shot them laying down.
He probably would have.
He's like on his stomach, like...
What if that would have been like the first modern day granny style? What if he goes granny style for better balance?
Yeah, right. We did miss out on a tremendous opportunity there.
Yeah.
I realize I shouldn't, and this is just me being a moron. I'm always surprised when things that shouldn't upset people that much just make them go indiscriminately insane.
Yes.
And it's like I've never been on the internet before, and I was genuinely amazed. I mean, Lakers fans are upset.
They lost their feces. Like, they have gone.
This is really deeply personal, and if you were making fun of them for freaking out, you're now making fun of the injury. Which is never okay. Nobody wants to make fun of somebody being... Well, okay, not no one. A lot of people, most people, I don't think, want to make fun of somebody being hurt.
Right.
There are bad human beings amongst us, but they don't understand that these guys are human and they feel things, but...
Well, except for LeBron. He's an alien.
Right. You know, I'm not sure Kobe feels things the way you or I feel things.
But, right.
You know, in whatever reptilian sense that he does feel things.
I've never felt the need to shove kittens into an ATM, but some people do.
I was just really surprised because people that are usually very rational and logical are just very hurt and upset over this thing and feel like everyone's out to get them.
Yeah.
And then no one understands how bad this is. And I'm kind of going, y'all realize it's an effing ankle sprain. It's just an ankle sprain.
Well, those can take weeks to get over.
Like, it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's a severe injury. I saw the picture that Kobe tweeted as he, you know, doesn't inflame things at all.
As he puts on his big boy pants.
Right. You know, it looks like it hurts like hell. I don't want to go through something like that again. I've had one of those kind of ankles. Like, I don't want to ever go through that again. Good God. But at the same time, it's basketball. I mean, how many ankles get twisted in basketball every single damn day?
Well, I mean, it's simply the timing of the season. Like, they finally get into the 8th seed area, and, I mean, that loss took them out of it, but they're finally in the 8th seed, and then Kobe sprains an ankle with 15, 16 games left. Like, it's the timing of it.
That's life for the other 29 teams in the NBA.
Oh, sure, but that's where the desperation is coming from.
Because, you know, I mean, I tend to talk about how the Lakers have a lot of luck on their side, and they've had things like the Andrew Bynum thing, but even the Andrew Bynum thing was always, they didn't really need him. It was like, if Bynum's healthy, awesome. You know, and when he wasn't, we've got Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom, and it's kind of fine.
Right.
Like, their luck has been pretty phenomenal long-term, and it's like, stuff didn't usually happen to them like this, and this has been the year where, man, everything went wrong. Like, I genuinely do feel bad for them, because they've had that season where everything goes wrong for you.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing to this point that hadn't gone wrong was a Kobe injury, and now here it is.
Right. You know, it'd be like if the Timberwolves had the kind of star attention and star power where everyone had egos and were sniping at each other while everything was falling apart.
Right.
The Timberwolves are just kind of like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is no fun. That's how I imagine that Ricky Rubio is like, this is no fun.
All he ever says is, like, if they get the win, it's like, the stats are nice, but winning is just fun. Like, all he ever says is winning is fun. That's all that guy wants to do. And not for, like, this bravado or legacy thing. He just likes having fun. I feel like a win to him is the Lion King.
During the finals, how drunk do I have to get Rubio tattoo?
Oh, half a beer. I'll do it.
Half a Zima.
Half a Zima. Oh, God, if you can find me a Zima, I don't even have to drink. I just want to see a Zima in person. I've never seen one.
Somebody, I read somewhere the other day, I was reading in Esquire, that apparently, I forget the hip-hop artist, a hip-hop artist is coming out with a line of flavored vodka drinks. Like the Smirnoff Ice things.
Okay.
And it sounded a lot like Zima to me.
I was like
Zima 2?
I can only assume this is Chingy.
Zima 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Raspberry.
Raspberry. Zima 2, Electric Raspberry Baloo.
Hey, should we blow through games real quick? You gotta get out of here.
Yeah, I gotta get out of here. I keep being slow. Let me pull up.
10 on the schedule.
Hey, for once, I'm not working during a nightmare night. 10's not bad. Lakers-Pacers is probably the game most people pay attention to because it's the Lakers without Kobe.
Yes.
Pacers are favored by 10.
10's a lot, but
they have no... Steve Nash to be fantastic.
Yeah, Pacers at home, I go Pacers. I roll with 10.
You know, Dwight's going to have another 39-point game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Roy Hibbert's not... Even if a monster, but he's pretty good in terms of his spacing and his positioning.
Yeah, no, I think Roy will neutralize him, I'll say. Not stop him, but there will be enough give and take to where it'll be pretty neutral.
Tyler Hansbrough are going to foul the...
Oh.
Split out of him.
Mahinmi, too.
Oh, Jan ain't giving no hard fouls. That's
oh, no. He'll give two. I guarantee it. If he's asked to foul, I don't think he can control his body.
He can't do... Unless he's changed dramatically from the guy that I heard a lot of league personnel guys talk about when I was watching him in the D-League. That was his thing, man. It was always a toughness factor with him.
No, I don't think it's a toughness thing. I think he can't control his body.
He can't control his body.
They say go foul, and he's like, just his arms start swinging. He doesn't know
it's
what
like
to do.
It's like a marionette that just kind of dance around.
Exactly.
His arms flop around independent of his body. Friends reference for the 1900-year-olds in the audience. Rockets favored by 14.5 over your pitiful Wolves.
Yep.
Lay him.
The Wolves don't want to play this fast. They don't have the firepower.
I guess I could see 14.5 just based on pace.
Yeah.
Just because they'll get up and down the floor.
And the Wolves probably keep it... The Wolves were competitive against the Pacers. They kept it close for a while, but they ended up losing by, I don't know, 16 or so.
I don't feel like the Rockets, if they go that fast, I don't feel like the Rockets can keep them under 100, and then you're talking about like a you're talking about a 120-105 win. Does that sound
right? That sound 120 points sounds about right.
Okay, 120 and then like 102 to 104.
If they get to that, like they've struggled to get to 100 points in any kind of pace game this year.
Wow. The Magic are getting 16.5 on the road to Oklahoma City.
That's a lot of points.
It's not for the Magic. No, man. The Magic, no. Thunder will take care of that. I don't worry about that. Ugh. Even at 16.5. You and I are always headed in like slightly, not dramatically, just slightly opposite directions with the Magic.
Yeah, I don't think.
Hey, they can kind of hang tough in this one. Are you like, are you kidding me? They're terrible. And then we kind of switch.
Yeah, I don't think they can win by any means, but they could lose by, they could lose by 13.
Moral victories. Heat going for 21 in a row on the road in Milwaukee. Tough team, amped up.
Yes, yeah. This is the one. This is the one game on the schedule where I'm like, uh-oh, this streak could come to an end.
The Bucks are getting 6.
Take it. Take those points.
Yeah, I think you got to. I think that you gotta, if you're going to play, I wouldn't. But if you're going to play, I think you got to take the points there.
Yeah. I think if the Heat win this game, it's a lot like the Sixers game the other night.
And you don't want to give Monte this kind of a game.
No.
Or Brandon, for that matter, the way he's been playing.
Yeah.
Mavericks, fresh off the loss, are favored by 7.5 over Cleveland. That seems a little high.
No Irving. I don't know.
Yeah, without Kyrie, they've been playing pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that on the Mavericks.
The Bobcats are getting 12 on the road versus the Raptors.
I bet they are.
Moving on, the Hawks are giving 8 at home to the Suns.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. The Wizards are... Here's actually a nice one. The Wizards are giving 4 at home to the New Orleans Hornets.
Ooh. I think I'd lay it with the Wizards.
Okay.
Barely. That's a close one. That's a really good line. Vegas is good.
Yeah, it is. I think I'd probably go Hornets there. I like some of the way that they're playing. Warriors are giving 4.5 versus the Bulls. This is an interesting one.
It's hard for me to... I mean, I know that game against Sacramento was a fluke, but... I would roll with the Warriors here.
The Knicks win got him right?
I don't know if the Knicks win got him right, but the Bulls just...
suck.
That was so bad. And I know it's just an outlier, but I kind of would like to see a good game from them before I start taking points.
You realize 2 years ago we weren't talking about, but there were people talking about a possible like dynasty with Derrick Rose and Carlos Boozer.
That's what ligaments do to you.
Sad. And then the game of the night, I think, I'm there. The Nuggets are favored by 5 to the Grizzlies. Z-Bo, quote on Fareed, that boy got motor. I have so many golden Z-Bo quotes. It is insane. Like, it was really disconcerting because I decided I was going to try and get them together, but they basically, I want to get them in and out. They both had to go do treatment, so I had to do Mark and then Zach. And so I'm talking to Mark, and Mark's like, he goes through this like really in-depth detail on what makes good pick and roll defense.
Yeah.
And he's talking about like, well, in our scheme, you know, on the side pick and roll, and he's going through all this really in-depth stuff that I'm going to try and put some video with and really show what they do and how Ty Lawson and Chris Paul, and this is not the first time that I've heard that comparison qualitatively. They talk about how the two actually run the pick and roll very similarly.
Okay.
And talking about that whole dynamic, and then and so he gets done, and it's like this. He's like just has this brilliant basketball IQ and this great attitude. And I ask him like, are the Clippers like your biggest rival? And he's like, no, you know, our biggest rival until Saturday is Denver, and then after that, it's whoever we face next. Like that's the West. And then like Z-Bo comes in. And it's just like the most laid back and like friendly, energetic. I said this yesterday on Twitter. He was so nice, Zach. It set off my anxiety.
Oh, that's different.
Like he was so like, how you doing? Like, where are you from? I'm from Denver, but I mean, I was born in Argentina. And like my anxiety went off because I was so like shaken by how nice he was. But the best quote that got a lot of action yesterday on Twitter, so I want to share it with the podcast listeners. Z-Bo says, you know, we ain't fancy. I was talking about the team identity, and he says, you know, we ain't fancy. We ain't running up and down doing lobs and windmills and stuff. He definitely said stuff.
Sure.
And he said, we in the mud. I heard that quote and was like, I heard it back and was like, I died. I was like, oh my God. Because the way he said it, he's got that draw. He's like, we in the mud. This is going to be a good game tonight.
Well, I was going to take the Nuggets, but he said we in the mud. I feel like I have to roll with that.
I have no idea. I would stay as far away from this game as possible. I think anything's possible. I think that
it's 5?
It's just 5, and that to me is like free throws at the end for Denver.
Yeah, that I'd probably go Denver.
Just because they're so good at home.
Yeah. Yeah, the home game, I'd go Denver. But this is the one to watch tonight.
Yeah, and I will tell you, the Grizzlies were tired getting back in from L.A.
Yeah.
Yesterday. They didn't get in until about 4 o'clock yesterday, which gives them still another day off. But had some fun in L.A. on Friday.
We in the mud.
We in the mud.
Yeah.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, man.